Matthew. We're turning to Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, please. Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. And while you turn to that portion, we thank our young sister once again for accompanying those pieces in song and for using the talents that the Lord has given her in this public fashion. Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, please. And we will be commencing our reading at verse 1, reading down to verse 11. And if you don't have a Bible with you, well, perhaps the person next to you will be kind to share their Bible with you, and you can read on and follow on there. But remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We're turning to Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, and we'll read from verse 1 down to verse 11. Let us hear the Word of the Lord. And when they were came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him, and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way, and found the colt tied by the door without, in a place where two ways met. And they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded. And they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees, and strewed them in the way. And they that went before, and they that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David, that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest! And Jesus entered into Jerusalem, and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Amen. We'll end the reading there at verse 11 of chapter 11, and knowing that God will add his own blessing to this, the reading of his precious word as he's promised, declared, revealed, even to do so. Let us bow in prayer, seeking further the Lord's assistance, his help, knowing that we do not come in our own name, even as we've been reading, in the name of the Most High, and let us seek his face. Our gracious Father, we thank thee for that name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, we thank thee that we come not in our own strength, but in the strength and the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. We need thy help. Fain is the help of man. We have nothing to contribute to the salvation of a soul. We cannot see into the deep recesses of the heart of any individual. O Lord, thou dost know the hearts of all men. And we pray that thou wilt save the religiously lost, and thou wilt save the irreligiously lost, and Lord, that thou wilt gather in people to thyself, and Lord, that thou wilt empty us of self and of sin, cleanse us now afresh in thy precious blood, send forth the Holy Ghost, helping us, enduing us with power from on high, and may thy words come as knowing that thy word is like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces, is not thy word is like a fire. Therefore give that demonstration signs following the preaching of thy word. Lord, during thy word, Lord, bless us. We ask these things in Christ's name and for Christ's sake, for it's in his name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Now, the scene that is set before us in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, is of Christ's triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. He's been on a missionary journey prior in Galilee, Judea and Jericho. After a brief visit on this day, in the narrative that is set before us, he will only leave the city to travel out to Bethany, another short journey out to the Garden of Gethsemane, his trial before the magistrates, before wicked individuals, and then traversing to the place called Calvary, for his meat, his necessary food, is to do the will of him that sent him. That is the will of the Father. And having come to as far as the Mount of Olives, he pauses and sends two of his followers. He sends two of his disciples off on an errand with the words of verse 2. In verse 2 we read, "Go your way. Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him." And of course, he must fulfill yet another prophecy. Because remember, he's doing all that he does is by the will of the Father, for which he is sent. And he must fulfill yet another prophecy as laid out by Zechariah in chapter 9, verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold thy king. Behold thy king. Cometh unto thee. He is just. And having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." And so Zechariah, some 500 years prior, had set the scene now being lived out in the portion of which we've been privileged in reading in these verses in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. And I want us this evening here in this meeting place to very simply, with the Lord's help, to consider some simple lessons. Some simple lessons surrounding the colt. Some simple lessons surrounding the colt. You see, in the colt, in this colt, we have and are presented with a clear picture of the spiritual condition of every man and woman in an unsaved and in an unregenerate state. We are presented with a picture of every man, every woman, every boy, every girl in an unsaved and unregenerate state. But we also see that the Christ of God in salvation is able to do for the deepest dyed sinner that he and he alone is able to set sinners loose, to set sinners free. And I want us to consider, first of all, with the Lord's help, the characteristics of the colt. First of all, the characteristics of the colt. Because we're told by Zechariah, as I quoted there earlier in Zechariah chapter 9, in the first 9, we are given the words, "a colt, the foal of an ass." And Mark here expresses a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Verse 2 of Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, and those latter verses, it says, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. And so this animal was a strong animal, bred for the purpose of hard working, bred for hard labor. It was strong, a large animal. It was unbroken. The colt would have been accustomed to running wild because it was an unbroken colt. And so it would have been accustomed to running wild. It would have been running wild, going wherever it pleased and when it pleased. Because it says, whereon never man sat. Whereon never man sat. Never knew of a saddle. Never knew anything of a bridle upon it. The colt would have never been harnessed. Would have never been exposed to bands or cords upon it. And so in plain, it had many of the characteristics of a wild animal. Had many of the characteristics of a wild animal. A rebellious nature. A wilderness in nature. A rebellious spirit and a natural rebellion against law. Natural rebellion against authority. And therefore the colt therefore accurately described and typifies the sinner. The sinner who is stubborn. The sinner who is self-willed. The sinner who goes his or her own way. A picture of unregenerate, sinful men and women. You see, from the moment Adam sinned in Eden and deliberately disobeyed God, disobeyed his commandment, disobeyed his authority, his law, and sought to be independent from God, to go his own way, to do his own thing, to go against the restraints of God's law. All men ever since possess a rebellious nature, having disobeyed God, men are born knowing and carrying on in deliberate disobedience, because disobedience is natural to men. And of course, you that have little ones, you don't have to have me tell you how little ones didn't have to be taught how to say no. When the child says no in disobedience, it is part of his or her nature. And so we are born knowing and carrying on in the disobedience, because disobedience is natural to men. And ever since the fall, men and women have lived in both willful and deliberate rebellion against God, against his holy laws, against his holy precepts, against his gospel, and against his son. And therefore the characteristics of the colt give to us a clear picture, is likened unto the unregenerate sinner, as wild and self-willed, self-serving, a strong-willed creature, altogether and totally rebellious in nature, and in rebellion against God, his maker and creator. rebellious in nature, against God, his maker and creator. But there's something else we can see that's set out clearly, and that's the captivity of the colt. Not only the characteristics of the colt, but the captivity of the colt. Because it sets out fairly clearly in both verses 2 and 4 that the colt was tied. The colt was tied. It was held captive. Verse 2, look at it. It says, go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied. Ye shall find a colt tied. Verse 4, and they went their way and found the colt tied. That is, the disciples went their way and found the colt tied. And so the colt was tied. It was held captive. It was fettered. It was imprisoned. It was held captive. And such is the picture set before us. The fact that the colt was tied simply paints the lesson, the picture, that it wasn't free. It wasn't free to do as it pleased and when it pleased. It wasn't free to make its own decision or go where it pleased and when it pleased. And you see, the one who possessed it, or rather owned it, had imposed his own will upon it and had determined just what it would do and where it would go. And so it is with you, sinner. Older man, older woman. Younger man, younger woman. Young boy, young girl. This night finds you tied to sin. It finds you enslaved to sin and to the god of this world, to Satan himself. And you're held in the grip of darkness, and you're held captive, and you may like to think of yourself as free. You may like to think to yourself as free. Free from the restrictions of commandments or God's holy word. Indeed, you may be living contrary to the restraints of God's law and decrees, but you're still not free. Just as a fish is not free when it leaves the water, or a tree when it leaves the soil, we are not free when we depart from God. And this colt was tied, held captive, and it was not free. And you're not free, sinner. You're tied, as it were. One who controls you, one who dictates to you what to do and where you can go. You're a slave to the worst of taskmasters, the prince and power of the air, Satan, the enemy of your never-dying, ever-living soul. You're taken captive by him at his will. You're taken captive at him and by him at his will, as this colt tied. Tied. Sinner, you're enslaved. Enslaved to Satan's will. And only God, and only the truth of the gospel, can set the captive free. Only the gospel, the truth of the gospel, can set you free, set you loose. For whom the Lord sets free, he sets free indeed. Because only the Lord is able to recover us out of the snare of the devil, out of his grasps, as we're held captive. From the moment we enter into this world, we go astray in the womb. And sinner, you're held captive by Him at His will. You see, already you have sought to make a New Year's resolution. A resolution and broken it. For you're under the rope of His control. You're tied, held captive, and that's why you can't give up the excessive drinking. That's why you can't give up the gambling, the immoral living, the lifestyle, the taking this and that, the drug abuse. You cannot give it up because you're at in the snare of the devil. And you're held captive by him at his will. Oh, you may be sick of your sin. And I doubt it not. You may be sick of your sin. To a certain extent, your sin ever holds you. And no matter what you attempt by your own efforts or doings, you're controlled by the God of this world. And held captive by him at his will, you're a captive of your own sinful, rebellious nature. And friend, you're a responsible being. Responsible for the state in which you find yourself this evening. And if you come not to Jesus Christ, you'll remain in that unsaved, unhealthy condition of soul, heart, mind, and being. Oh, there's another vital lesson, simple lesson that is portrayed for us, and that's the condition of the colt. Because really we can see this throughout verse 4. Because it tells us, of course, of the captivity of the colt and the fact that it was tied. But what were the implications? What were the implications of it being tied? Well, look at verse 4. And found, that is, the disciples, remember the context? They are charged, they are commanded to go into the village, as it were, and by the command of Christ to set that colt free. And it says in verse 4, and found, that is, the disciples found the colt tied by the door without. And so here are the implications of its captivity, of his being tied. Here is the condition of the colt. The door means the door of the house. The door of the house. And whether the owner was present in the confinements of that home or not, whether the owner was present or not, the colt is unclean. Being outside. Outside the door, as it were. The door of the house. And so the owner bound the colt, tied it out in the street, went about other business, and abandoned it there. Where it was, outside, abandoned it there. And what a picture is presented here for us of a colt caught. Of a colt tied outside the door and there abandoned. And like the sinner, unable to loose themselves or set themselves free, unable to get in through the door and left abandoned to linger in the heat of the day and the discomfort of life. Abandoned by its master. A picture and presentation of the condition in which Satan leaves men and women in. He leaves them in the state in which they're found. And he abandons them. He entices men and women with all the false allurements of this world, with the pleasures of sin. And yet you're hooked on this and that. And he leaves you to suffer the consequences of your sin while he seeks fresh conquests. While he seeks fresh conquests to future ensnare. Oh friend, what a terrible plight to be in. Because the devil has no care for those who are under his control. As the owner had no care for the colt having been left. No care whatsoever, abandoned to the elements. Nowhere to shelter. And just like the sinner, the colt describing the sinner, painting the picture of the sinner, you're by the door without. You're by the door without. No amount of effort on your part, no matter how many resolutions you make or attempt, can ever get you through that door. Give you entrance into glory, eternal bliss, into heaven itself. Notice further in verse 4 it says, and they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. Where two ways met. Meaning the colt was at a crossroads. The colt where it was at a crossroads. And tonight, sinner, you are found at a crossroads. In your life, this night finds you at a crossroads. And there's a lesson in this for you. Tonight finds you at a crossroads. Before you are two roads. One leads to heaven and eternal bliss. The other leads to hell and eternal damnation. One leads to heaven, to be with Christ, which is far better. One leads without Christ to be in hell forever. And the sad reality is, sinner, you're upon the road that leads to hell. At present, you're on the road that leads to hell, to everlasting punishment, to endless torments, simply because of the characteristics you display. You're being in captivity to sin and Satan, and the helpless, hopeless condition in which you're found. And so sinners sum up the situation. These simple lessons surrounding the colt. You're likened to this colt. Tied by the door without. Without, in this case, means to be outside. To be outside. To be without hope. To be without God. To be without Jesus Christ. It means to be outside without hope of getting inside. Well, the colt could struggle all it could, but it was bound outside. And you may try every trick known to man in an effort to gain entry into heaven. But let me tell you, on the authority of this book, you remain outside unless you part with your sin. Unless you repent of your sin, unless you turn from your sin and trust Christ to set you free and to be loosed and to be set free indeed. Oh, you may become so religious and self-righteous and like Judas, kiss the very door of heaven. But without Christ and His salvation, you'll never step one foot into eternal glory. And so, sinner, how can you, as a sinner, be set free, loosed, as it were, from sin and wickedness? Well, the way of escape is seen plainly, simply and clearly in the command of Christ. Because it's He who commands sinners to come. It is He who commands sinners to be set free, to be loosed. And we read in verse 2, it says, "Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find the colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him." You see, it was the command of Christ. Loose him and bring him was Christ's command. You see, the rope that bound the colt was quickly undone by the disciples. Hence, the colt was able to be led along the road that led to Christ. That led to Christ. And, O sinner, see this. It's at the command of Christ that you can be set free from the chains of sin that binds you as an individual. That bind you as an individual. You know, no matter how much anyone else in that village cared for the colt, or longed to set it free, none had the power or authority to do so. None. No matter how many cared for that colt, and to see it free and loosed and set free, none had the authority or power to do so. And so it is with you, sinner. As much as we would love to see you set free, as much as we would love to set you free, we can't. We cannot. As much as it grieves our souls to see you snared in sin and tied to this sinful world, we mourn over those who go on rejecting Christ and deliberately refusing His salvation and the freedom it brings. Yet we haven't the power or authority to snap sin's fetters. And yet there's one and one only who can. Who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You see, the two disciples had no power or authority in themselves to set the colt loose. But the Master who sent them, they came in the name of the Lord. They came in His name, and the one who sent them could say, "Loose him and bring him." And so it's at the command of God's word to tell you of Him who can say, "Loose him or loose her. Bring him to me. Bring them to me." It's to Christ we direct you, sinner. As much as we love to see you in God's house, Portland Home Free Presbyterian Church will not save you. Clockmills Free Presbyterian Church will not save you. Or whatever denomination you care to mention, or whatever sister congregation you care to mention, no, it's to Christ and to Christ alone we point you. It's to Christ and Christ alone. What does it say in Mark chapter 11, verse 7? It indicates, "And they brought the colt to Jesus." What words? What simple words? "And they brought the colt to Jesus." You see, friend, you'll never find salvation and sins forgiven in a church building or a denomination, but you'll find peace, the forgiveness of sins, salvation, and the assurance of it by coming to Jesus Christ. And He says to you, come. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Will you refuse him as he bids you come? Will you stay in the condition in which you're found? Tied. Oh friend, what a miserable condition to stay in. When you can experience freedom. This night, at the command of Christ, at Christ's command, as one of old put it, the colt was completely in his control and submit it to his will. And thus does the sinner loose from sin's bondage and brought to Christ in salvation become a willing subject of the King. You know, when the Lord changes an individual, they'll begin to carry the message to others and desire that others would come and receive what they have received. A new nature. For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things passed away, behold, all things become new. Perhaps one with you may desire the salvation of your soul, your ever-living, never-dying soul. Oh friend, we urge you, be ye reconciled to God. You know, what did the colt do? And again, it's a picture. Carried the message. Carried the message of the Redeemer. That's what the Christian is called to do. To carry the message. We preach Christ crucified. That's the message. There's redemption. Redemption simply means freedom. And you need to be redeemed. You need to be set loose, set free. And it's only by Christ and Christ alone. Well, we urge you to come. Come to Christ. Be saved from your sinful state. And begin to traverse from this night forth to eternal glory. Oh, it would be my great joy, joy of the ruling elders here, to sit down and talk with you, and to point you simply to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you don't need us. You can simply call upon him now. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, be saved. His grace is free. Let us bow in prayer. Our gracious, eternal, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy help. We pray against the one that would seek to snatch away the good seed of the Word of God. We pray that Thou would be pleased to prepare the ground. Lord, that Thou wilt do Thy gracious work in our midst here. O Lord, we thank Thee for Your presence. We thank Thee for Thy help. We pray that Christ might have the glory in all things. We ask these things in our Saviour's precious name and for Saviour's sake. Amen.